And it's good to see you this morning. Amen. I'm not sure if you're aware, if you're from the Swansea area, you probably know that there went into effect yesterday at 12 noon a parking ban that's in effect until about 6 p.m. this evening. And of course, we had the superstorm. That's the storm we'll be talking about for years and telling our children about how we lived through the storm of 13, right? I suppose. And of course, we had to cancel. They had a parking ban. And probably with that storm, had they not had a parking ban, we would have canceled anyway because that was a little bit of snow. Last week, my wife and I had opportunity to go. We were in Florida visiting my daughter Carly with her newborn son Jackson. And I know some have asked, how is he, how is she? She's doing well. He's cute as a button. Smells wonderful. Amen. You know, you guys got to get in touch with this here and smell those newborns. I'll tell you, that's innocence, purity. I love it. And but they're doing well. Well, we were at Olive Baptist Church last Sunday and worshiping. They have two morning services, much like we do, because they don't have enough room in their building. Of course, their first service had about 1,600 people. Their second service had 1,700 people. And, yep, praise the Lord. And but they just don't have enough parking space and room in their buildings. So I said, gee, that's kind of like our building back home. Not quite that many people, but kind of like our building back home. And while we were worshiping there, I know and stand in contact with the fellas that Brother Steve, Brother Skip, and others, that it was canceled last week because of snow. So when we saw the parking ban, I took a trip over to the Swansea police, and as Steve mentioned, they were kind enough to grace us with an 8 to 12 window, even though I don't see snow. Okay? But it's the chief's call, and he made the call, and he's not in the office till Monday, although there is supposed to be some snow coming in later this afternoon and tonight, so be safe if you're out there with it. I don't think it's going to be anything of any enormous amount, but in any case, it's good to be back, and I'm glad that the department did give us this window of opportunity so we can come worship, and we're glad to see you. I mentioned the first service as Candy sang that special for us, I'll have a new body. Are you familiar with the expression deja vu? You're somewhere and somebody goes walking by and you get a hint of cologne or perfume and go, wow, I remember when I was in Cancun and smelled that. I know a lot of you remember that, right? Or, you know, it might be a restaurant and there's a smell from a meal or somebody says something, you hear an expression and you say, I haven't heard that in a, you know, boy, since I was a child, right? Deja vu moments. And as Candy was playing this morning and again just a little while ago, that took me back to 1978. I was a member of the Emmanuel Baptist Church in Pontiac, Michigan, and it happened to be their anniversary Sunday. There were approximately 4,500 people in the church, in the congregation, and they had the Cathedral Quartet. I don't know if you've ever heard of them. Now, this was the brand from 1978, some of the older gentlemen, okay? And but they had them for the anniversary service on the Sunday. They sang special music, the pastor preached, and then they came back at 2 o'clock, and from 2 to 4 p.m., they put on a two-hour concert, all their songs and stuff. And one of the songs they sang was, I'll Have a New Body. And the five of them just sang it out in all the parts and just... And so when Candy sang that today, on both occasions, it just kind of takes the Rolodex, the calendar back to that time in 1978, where as a college student, I was sitting there for the first time and listening to the Cathedral Quartet sing. And it I'll tell you, Candy, it makes as much of an impact on me today as it did then. And the message of the words are perfect. And we look forward to the coming of the Lord. Amen. We look forward that when we get to meet him, we too will have the new body, and I look forward to that. Take your Bible, if you would, and I want you to turn to the Gospel of John with me this morning. You know, sometimes as you're preparing to do a study, a Sunday school class, a Wednesday study, preaching service Sunday morning, whether it's here or away. There's times I read, and as I'm reading God's Word, God lays different things on my heart with the desire to develop and bring that into a message, to share that. And there are several occasions. In fact, it happens quite often that the Lord will lead me in one direction in the early part of the week, and then maybe in the later part of the week, there's another direction. And so there have been several times I've come into church with two messages in my Bible. Now, I can only preach one because of the time frame we have. And by the way, time frame, let me just say today, they've given us an 8 to noon window, okay? So if you see me still going at 12:15, wave. Brother Norman, did you forget a phone? Brother Norman was in our first service. He forgot his phone. I want him to have his phone. And so if you start seeing it getting on 12:15, wave, because if your car is still sitting out there at noon and they come by, Swansea's Finest, you will get a $100 ticket. And it will be an expensive service. Ah, see, Tammy has got it. She's sitting there in her eye. I see it in her mind. See, she's thinking, why should we be getting it? I'm not waiting till 12:15 to wave. I'm waving at 11:35. All right? Then we start wrapping up. But we're grateful for that time frame of opportunity that they've given us to come and worship. Maybe $100 Guatemala Wall Fund. But as I said, sometimes we come into church and there's a couple of different messages, and you know, it's sometimes it's right at that hour. And Melanie was playing a song before the first service, and there was something she was just playing as people were coming in, and she doesn't know it. Steve picked out some songs for our song service. He never checks with me. He has the liberty to pick out the song service that God lays on his heart, and that's fine. That's the way I want it. But he led songs that he didn't know confirmed our message for this morning. And so one of them will stay in the warmer, and the other one we share with you today out of the Gospel of John, chapter number 3. Now, another reason why I said all that is to say this. Just like our memory verse and Steve telling us that we probably learned it in preschool or Sunday school or when we're a child, Romans 3:23, here's a verse that you've learned in the same fashion. But there's a danger here. Not with the verse. The danger is our familiarity to it. Because there's a temptation for each of us here to greet over that verse and then begin looking at our watch or then begin fiddling or then begin thinking about our afternoon schedule. And we'll miss the message that God has for us today because of our familiarity, or so we think. We know this verse so well. Can I tell you, I've been saved since January the 5th, 1976, and I do not know this verse so well. I need to learn it more. And God imprinted it. He seeks to impact it upon my life, to influence me with it, and I pray that He'll do the same for you. It's a verse we know. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's my prayer today that as our neighbors drive in on the neck and the sign is on their right, and as they leave the neck and our church sign is on their left, they will see on that sign John 3:16, the greatest love story. Because that's exactly what it is. Here's a verse that highlights for us the very heart of our Heavenly Father. It highlights for us the very love of God. Again, the cautionary note. It's the verse that we are familiar with. Amongst others, we quote often,
We know it.
But if it becomes that familiar that it loses the imprint, the impact, or the influence that God wants it to have upon our lives, we better get on our knees and we better say, God, I repent. Forgive me for my sin of taking you and your word for granted. Easy to do, but it's the wrong thing to do. You remember in the early 70s, many of you, there was a movie entitled Love Story. I'm not going to ask you if you saw it. I'm not going to tell you if I saw it. But there was a movie Love Story that touched everyone's heart, and it was a story of tender, self-sacrificing love of a young couple, and that's really the crux of the whole movie. Well, you know, as we read the Bible is a book full of love stories. And as we go through the Bible from cover to cover, we see the story of the love of Jacob for his beloved Rachel. We read further and we see a love of from a man by the name of Boaz for one who was gleaning his fields. Her name was Ruth. As we go on, we see a book in the Old Testament entitled The Song of Solomon. It's a wonderful love story and a Shulamite woman. As we continue, there is another book in the Old Testament that we often don't think of it so much in this vein of being that type of a love story, but it truly is. And it's also a picture for us that demonstrates God's great love for his people, even when his people don't want to love him in return. And that is the love for the one by the name of Hosea for his wife Gomer, who found herself in illicit relationships, prostituting herself out, and yet the love that her husband had, he went after her with an everlasting love. But there's also another love story in the Word of God, and that is the love that we see of a man who is a carpenter. His name is Joseph, and he has a love for a young woman. Her name is Mary, and Mary is conceived by the Holy Spirit of God, and God is going to use her in bringing into this world, virgin born, the baby, the Lord Jesus Christ. We see all these depictions, these love stories found throughout the Word of God. But you know, I'm going to tell you this morning that I believe that the greatest love story is not Jacob for Rachel. It's not Boaz for Ruth. It's not even the entire book of Song of Solomon. It's not Hosea going after Gomer. And it's not Joseph with his love for Mary. But as I read the Bible, and as you read the Bible, I suggest to you this morning that the greatest love story is the story of God's love for ordinary people. It's the story of God's love for you and me and for this world. Let's pray together, and then we have a few things we want to share with you, and then somebody get ready to wave me out. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, thank you for this opportunity we have to come once again in this pulpit to share your word and to preach this morning. We look forward to it. We missed our time with these snow days. We missed as a time that we're away. And Father, we're glad to be able to be back at our church, South Swansea Baptist Church. We thank you for our members and friends here. And God, I pray that you bless them in a rich and abundant way. Father, I pray this morning, my prayer every week, is that if there's somebody here today that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, Father, might this be the day that they'll realize that Jesus died on the cross for their sin, that Jesus was buried, and that Jesus rose again, just as he said, conquering both sin and the grave, and that through him and his payment for our sin, we can receive forgiveness of sin and a home in glory. Father, I pray this morning for the child of God, for the Christian. God, that you would bless them. Father, that you would work in them. That you would meet our needs, whatever those needs are. Father, that you would challenge us, that you would strengthen us, and that you would help us each and every day to find ourselves being more and more conformed to the image of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And one day, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So bless us this day, and again, we thank you for the opportunity to minister in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're taking some note down this morning, I have five things I'd like to share with you briefly about the greatest love story. The greatest love story as recounted for us in the Scripture, looking at our verse, John chapter 3 and verse number 16. And it's my prayer that this is something that will impact, will imprint, and will influence you in your walk with God. Five things we want to share with you about this greatest love story. Number one, first and foremost, number one, it is the story of an unreasonable love. It is the story of an unreasonable love. Here's the verse. For God, it starts out, for God so loved the world. Now, why do we call it unreasonable love? It's unreasonable because God's love is not requested. God's love, unfortunately today, oftentimes is not respected. And God's love, equally unfortunate today, is seldom reflected. When things go wrong in the world, what things go wrong in the world? There are things in the world today like wars, Iraq, Afghanistan, trouble in Iran. There's terrorism on every front. Homelessness is at epidemic stages. Deadly diseases and deadly illnesses. We had diseases and illnesses that back in the 20s and 30s and 40s and early 50s, they thought they had inoculations for, they thought they had taken care of, and even some of those then are now raising themselves up in new strains that people face across the globe. There's drug use that's at epidemic stages. There's enormous financial deficits and the like, on and on and on. Do you think the world is facing a little bit of trouble today? I firmly believe that it is. And unfortunately, as we look at all the things that go wrong in the world, not everybody, but I would say most, there's a tendency to sit around the table and talk, and who gets the brunt, who gets the blame for the problems that go on in the world today? Too many times that blame is shifted to Almighty God. You've heard it, I've heard it. Sometimes we'll sit down and witness to somebody. We'll be sharing faith in Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden their person will say, well, wait a minute. If God is so loving, why does he allow this? If God is so caring, preacher, like you say he is, then how come God permits this to happen and that to happen? And why this heartbreak and why that home break and why that child illness and all these different things? And oftentimes what I will do is I will shift that away and say, well, wait a minute, let's get to that in a moment. And I try to refocus and direct back in on the witness for Jesus Christ, because it's my prayer. What happens when somebody receives Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, sin forgiven, heaven their home? Somebody moves in. And that's the Spirit of God. Amen? And I've seen a lot of times that after the Spirit of God moved in and the love of God came into their lives, all of these questions they had and some of the blames they had toward God were gone. Because now there are new creation created in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. But we see this today. Most people blame God. The world's response to trouble is to seek diplomatic or economic or social solutions. God's love is not valued many times because God's love oftentimes is viewed as being old-fashioned. You begin to talk to somebody about the love of God, you seek to be a witness about God and what God wants to do in a person's life, and I'll tell you what happens a lot of times. Oh, that's what your parents believed. Oh, I remember your grandparents thought that way. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and call my parents or your parents old-fashioned. I'm not going to stand up here and call my grandparents old-fashioned. But what people tell you is, well, that was another message for another day. okay? And nothing could be further from the truth as we read the Word of God and as we let God's Word speak to our heart. They refer to God's love as not valued because it's viewed as old-fashioned. Here's a word for you. People will view God's love as being Victorian. People will view God's love as being rigid. People view God's love as being restrictive. Yet God's love is seldom reflected in the world, and why is that? Well, we live in a world today, and it hasn't changed a whole lot. While there's been a lot of things through technology and the modern era we see, sin is still sin. It was that way from the beginning in the garden, and it runs rampant and runs that way today. But what the world often does, if they displace God or they move him out of the way, or if they want to blame him for the ills of the world, his love being seldom reflected, it's because we live in a world today that worships success. We live in a world today that has a tendency to worship self. We live in a world today that draws itself to popularity. We live in a world today that is drawn to power. And yet, in spite of it all, in spite of the blame that God receives, in spite of the message that God's love is old-fashioned, like we need to move on to something new, in spite of it all, God still freely loves the world. And so, first of all, I'll submit to you that this is a story. John 3:16, the greatest love story ever shared with mankind. This is a story of unreasonable love. Number two, it's a story of unreserved love. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." It's unreserved love in the fact that what God gave, he gave freely. You didn't pull a bribe out on God. The world doesn't get behind him to bend his arm up and say, "God, say uncle." We can't do that. That's not how God operates. See, what God gives, God gave freely. That is, he gives his love, unreserved love, without hesitation. God gives it with no debate. God gives it without conference, deliberation, appropriation committee. God does not use those things. God does not balk at giving out his love. He gave. He continues to give. And what he gave and what he gives is unique, it's incomparable, it's unmatched, and it is without equal. What he gave was his only begotten Son. And that's where I strike the chord of familiarity. Because we can hear that so much, we can say we're so acquainted with that verse that we lose the message. We lose the imprint upon our soul. We lose the thought of the price that was paid, that you and I might have life and that we might have it eternally. Think about God's love for just a moment. Think of it this way with me. You're here this morning because something happened. It was called, you woke up. You heard your alarm going off and you either pushed the dismissed button or the snooze button, but you got up and you made your way to your cup of tea or your cup of coffee, to your restroom to freshen up, to shower, to prepare yourself, to your changing room to pick out what outfit you were wearing to church. Without ever a single thought, God's love allowed all that to happen. Think about it. It's really because of his love that we move, that we are, we move, we have our being. It's really because of his love that we are able to do this thing called life, and more than that, that we're able to do this thing called the Christian life and be an ambassador for God, to share our faith, to read his word, to have his word in our lives. It all falls back to a verse that sometimes we are so guilty of being too familiar with. John 3:16, oh, I know that. Do you really? Do you know that John 3:16 is in a story? It's about a story of unreasonable love. Do you know that it's a story of unreserved love? Do you know, number three, that it's a story of an unrestricted love? You see, here's the verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, unrestricted. Unrestricted in that there are no qualifications to measure up to. We didn't go in the office, come in, introduce ourselves. Hello, God, I'm here for my appointment. And God, bring out the sheet of qualifications as to whether or not you're fit for heaven. Because there's never, not a one of us, not a one would have been able to meet the bill. God wouldn't have said, you're underqualified, you're overqualified. God wouldn't have said to us, you're too old, you're asking for too much, you're not asking for enough. You don't part your hair right, you don't dress right, you don't have hair. God wouldn't have asked any of those things. Why? Because it's a love story of unrestricted love. No qualification to measure up to, no achievement to master, no requirement to maintain. What did you bring to the meeting when Jesus became your Savior that day? I'll tell you what I brought. A sinful heart. That was it. And because it's an unrestricted love, Jesus became mine. The greatest love story. It's a story of an unreasonable love. It's a story of an unreserved love. It's a story of an unrestricted love. It's also the story of unrestrained love. See, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's unrestrained in that God's love for you has no limits. That is, there's nothing that the love of God cannot do. Think about that for a moment. The Bible says in Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. From the uttermost to the guttermost and everywhere in between, that was us. Now, oftentimes I have somebody say to me, well, you know, preacher, I was brought up in a Christian home. I didn't do the things that you did. I didn't say the things that you did. I didn't act the way you did. There's a word for that. It's just called sin. Whether you were brought up in a Christian home or you grew up in a low-income housing project, as my friend would indicate I did, you are a sinner in need of a Savior. And that's where we have that this is an unrestrained love. See, from the uttermost to the guttermost, it's a love that knows no bounds. It's a love where no place where it is hindered. It's a love that's no place where it becomes ineffective. It will never, ever end.
Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, the Bible says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." What an unrestrained love. For God so loved the world. Here's another interesting note that we share with you briefly. We said this before, so we don't want to act like we're beating this dead horse, but I've never found a time in God's Word, reading His Word, going through His Word, that God ever said to me that He liked me. I've never found a command, "For God so liked the world." I never found a command that God said, "Even as I like you, you are to like one another." I don't find that. What I find in the Word of God is that God tells me often and again how often He loves me. And God says, "For He so loved the world." God says, "As the Father loves you, you are to go and love others." The Bible says, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, you are Christ's followers, if you have like one to another." No, if you have love one to another. And here it is again. This is a love that is an unrestrained love. This is a love that has no limit. This is a love that is not hindered. This is a love that cannot be made ineffective. This is a love that goes on and on and on and on, and we refer to it hence as an unrestrained love. One more thing. Well, it is the story of unreasonable love and unreserved love and unrestricted love and unrestrained love, sadly. It is also a story of unrealized love. You see, for the Bible says in John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." Why? "Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Now, this is a love that comes from God to you and me. But it's not a love that comes from God to you and me just to stay with you and me. I told folks earlier this morning, I love milk. Amen? Boy, do I love milk. Probably shouldn't love it as much as I do. But it goes great with a myriad of meals. And there was a time where I could drink, literally, my wife would tell you, I could drink a whole gallon of milk, whole milk at one meal. I mean, just nothing beat. Cold, refreshing, stimulating, bubbly milk, right? And then my wife said to me one day, "Honey, I don't know about that. I think you should go to the 2% kind." And after some debate and disgruntlation on my part, I went to 2%. And then after a while, she said to me, "I think you should go to 1%. And so after, again, debate and reflection, I ended up at 1%. And then one day she hit me with it, "Fat-free." I said, "That is known as white water." But I went to white water because I love milk. But there's something about milk that you have to understand, all right? One day I went to that container and I had the meal prepared and I poured that milk in there and I'm eating my meal and I took a drink of that and I went, "Bloff!" And then I examined my container. I looked at the date, old date. I looked at the container, had this ring on the inside. I think it's called curdling or something like that, right? Came to a conclusion. The milk, as much as I love it,
is only good if I'm using it, if I'm pouring it out. If I just let it sit in there, after a while it spoils. I think the same thing is true when we talk about the love of God. If we just hold on to it, what good does it do anybody else? It kind of curdles in your spiritual container. It really does. It's like the idea with the sponge. You remember the sponge? You get it all wet and sit on the porch, and the sun gets to it, and the warm air gets to it, and all you begin to notice something happened to that thing. It's called rot. A sponge is only effective when you put it in the water and use it, and squeeze it out, and put it in the water and use it. Why? A sponge is meant to be used. Milk is meant to be drank. Love of God to a believer is meant to be given out. And we miss something. We miss something. What do we miss? We miss the truth of the greatest story, love story, ever told. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, you, red, yellow, black, white, all precious in his sight, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So there are many who have yet to respond to God's love. So I'm going to wrap this up with a question. What are you willing to do about it? Because you're the container of love. You receive the love from God. And it's that love you have to give out. You see, there are those in this world, those of us who know God's love, need to understand that we must take it to those who have yet to hear. There are those of us who know God's love, we have to understand that we must take it to those who need to see. So what are you going to do about it? What am I going to do? That's the question in regard to the love letter that came from God for you for today. Let's pray together.